All right. I'll pass around two things. One is the attendance sheet to sign, and the other is the schedule according to dates that y'all signed up. All right. So, a reminder for those, anybody here that wasn't here last week? Okay, oh, Drew, all right. I have handouts from last week down here. A reminder, your presentation titles are due on Friday, the 25th of January. Okay? And for the first presenters, which is Drew and Brandon, is that right? Brandon. Where's Brandon? Hey, there's Brandon. Also due on that day, y'all need to send a flyer of your presentation and your bio sketch. Okay? And that's always the case for when you're presenting. It's the Friday before, right? All right. So make sure for folks that may not have been here, or if you want a refresher from last Wednesday, now on the course website, we have everything that I passed out. We have examples of contemporary natural resource topics. If you're doing your second seminar and you're going to do it on a contemporary topic instead of doing a research presentation. There is a schedule of all the talks, and also verify on that list that I have you correctly labeled as your level, MS or PhD, and whether this is your first or your second seminar. So I'll know what type of presentation you should be doing. And you can see Dr. Hickling is talking next week. That'll be our first official seminar of spring semester. Pass the word around to your fellow grad students in your lab that aren't enrolled. They are required to start attending next Wednesday. And I'll send emails out to them, but sometimes folks get missed. So pass the word around and encourage your advisors to come. Below that are PDFs of the proposal, or excuse me, of the presentations that I'm going through as examples. And you can see the podcast right there. What you want to do, if you want to download this is from last Wednesday, is you right click on it and then do save target as, save it to your desktop, and then you can listen to it. This is an MP3 file. It's relatively large, probably around 50 megabytes. So you don't want to open it directly through your browser. All right, and et cetera. All right, any questions, y'all? If you have any, please don't hesitate to stop by my office or Dr. Hodges' office. Okay, so what we finished, or where we were.
I've got a question.
Sure.
I don't know if this is right for seminar, but you know, it seems like we have a lot of people in here that are looking at the institution and Dr. Crabtree leaving and that, all that going on. I don't know if this is the right place to discuss that, but I never get a chance to discuss those type of issues.
Yeah.
Within our, you know, there's not really an outlet for that. I was really, from my perspective, I thought, you know, I want to get a different perspective on some other things, you know, outside of just reading newspaper or whatever, talking to people about that, because it really seems like to me it's been a very trying time right now for the University of Tennessee.
It is.
And Dr. Crabtree did a lot, was very well respected, very liked by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And this thing going on with Dr. Peterson, Dr. Crabtree affects us all. Yeah. Our institution. So I don't know if this is the correct forum to address that, but maybe talk about it just a little bit.
Not at all. So the concern was expressed, I'm just repeating because folks didn't hear it if they're listening at home, about Dr. Crabtree resigning and really kind of being encouraged to resign from President Peterson. And that's created a lot of issues and well, concern that's been raised from the student body as well as the faculty. And what would be the best forum? Well, that'd be a good question to ask our department chair, quite frankly, and see if Dr. Belli is interested in getting our department together and talking about is seminar the place? Well, probably, unfortunately not, because we have a full schedule right now. With respect to opportunities to listen to what is transpiring as we speak, there is, and we just received an email yesterday, the Faculty Senate is addressing this issue. And they are sending out a survey to all faculty members to respond and give their opinions about this decision and what's happened. Next week, Faculty Senate is holding a meeting that is open to the university. I'm pretty sure it's not just faculty members. I'll take a look at that email. It'll be over at the University Center, and it's supposed to be a couple hours long talking about what's transpired and getting feedback from folks. I am going to try to attend because this is a period of time that a concern to us all, I think. So, share that with you all, and that's an opportunity to go and listen and see what's going on at the university. There is a, I just received before I came down here, there's going to be a reception with Dr. Crabtree. And an opportunity for folks at the university to get together with him and I assume his wife as well, and express our appreciation for his service. And but ultimately, right now, where do we go? We're all very concerned and we're uncertain right now.
Well, I guess I'll bring up a point because we, you know, ours is an arena of natural resources which deals with a lot of conflict,
mm-hmm.
and you know, yeah. how best to resolve that conflict, and you know,
yeah.
that's obvious, you know, you understand,
mm-hmm.
kind of marrying of the two points there.
I mean, yeah,
it'd be interesting to see what happened with it.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyway, I just mm-hmm. didn't know if that's the right place, but I've been concerned about it, and I think as students, as yeah. graduate students, and as people who are going into the profession, need to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the other
route to funnel ideas and concerns and thoughts is through the Graduate Student Association, through y'all's president. That'll certainly be a part of receiving thoughts and reflections from the students. And those will be, I'm sure, being disseminated to the faculty Senate president. And then those are certainly being relayed at multiple levels in the administration. So, okay. I'm being podcast, so. Okay, any other questions? Okay. So last time, and the intent of, I guess, the next 40 minutes is to go through relatively quickly and show you examples of a proposal presentation, a research presentation, and a topic presentation. And we started off last time and through basically the research objectives of a proposal presentation for one of my students. And if you all have this grading sheet from last time, you may want to pull it out because I'll reference it and make points of good things about each of these presentations and things that I think could be improved. Overall, these are pretty good examples to model your presentation after. And of course, when it comes to research, everybody's research projects are different, so there's obviously going to be a lot of variability. But the main components should be there. Again, we've talked about introduction and justification for research, which is the first criteria that you're evaluated on. What are you evaluated on in this first page? That is, how well have you introduced the topic? How well have you justified your research? That's what those 5 points are graded on. Okay? The next is research objectives, and it is simple as, okay, we talked about a goal statement there, but it's as simple as basically listing these. You get 5 points, but specifically indicating this is my goal here. These are my objectives for my research. Next, those methods, you can see it's double the number of points. That's the point, one of the main points of your proposal presentation. Let folks know what you're doing, but then really get into the nuts and bolts of what you're doing, the methods that you're using. Now, depending on your type of study, if you're doing a field study, which maybe about just half of you are, or maybe two-thirds of you are, then you want to start off with talking about where you're conducting your study. If you're doing a lab study, this isn't necessary. Okay, or maybe, you know, if you're doing a survey, you may have a survey population that you talk about. All right. What you're seeing here as I'm going through is you see stuff coming on to the slides. This is referred to as text transitions, and you're actually graded on that on the second page here. You have slide quality, delivery and organization. Well, those are the other two components really to as you're up here presenting that we're grading. One component of slide quality is text transitions. A good strategy when you're giving a talk is always to captivate and to keep your audience's attention. And that is done through text transitions. If you do not have text transitions, an example would just be having everything up there all at one time and then talking about it. And if you've ever sat in a professional presentation where folks just have a slide and they have a bunch of stuff on there, especially if it's just a lot of text, and your eyes just glossy over and you really lose your concentration, and sometimes it's hard to follow that individual unless they're a really dynamic speaker. This helps you. This is a technique that you can use to direct your audience's attention. They aren't looking at this polygon that you see here until you put it up, and then you address that in your talk. Okay? So this is a way that you can direct your audience's attention. Okay? Now, after you talk about your study area, if that's appropriate again, then you're into your methods. This is what we're one of the things that we're looking for, and that is that your objective that this method is referring to is up at the top, so that your audience knows how that objective is being met. Okay, and again, so this is the first one, and the first objective of this study is to quantify acreages of mud flats on a weekly basis. And then John is going through here and talking about how he's going to do that, okay? And he has these things transitioning in. Second is quantifying water bird use, and he's going to talk about how he does that, talk about his techniques, etc. Okay? The activities, quantify numbers of individuals, assumptions that he's making, quantifying the activities and how that is done, etc. Different types of activities that could occur. All right. Third objective was quantifying food resources. And he's doing this every 2 weeks. If you're doing a field study, should indicate the frequency in which you intend to be sampling. His design. It should be very clear to your audience, not just, okay, I'm out there measuring this or I'm doing this procedure, but the design, the experimental design in which it is structured, okay? And again, it depends on the lab study or if it's a field-based study. It's a lab study, you may have some type of table that shows how the design, how your different factors are going to be tested, etc. If it's a field study, you might show how you're setting up plots like he has here. And then if you have any pictures that can illustrate your design, that can help as well. I will back up. This is a horrible picture. see here. One of the things on here is clarity of images. All right, that's not very clear. So make sure that if you're going to use a slide, or excuse me, an image, that it's not blurry, all right, that your audience isn't out there squinting. I'll make a point a little bit here about complementary colors. That is referring to the text color. And this is a good example. I wouldn't call this a very good use of colors, because it is hard to see what those response variables are. Okay? So they should contrast with each other. This orange is a little annoying as well. So use fonts and backgrounds that complement each other, that make things stand out very well. You can use, let's see, here's a good example. This is a good way to make text stand out. You can create a text box, or if you just fill in the text box itself at the bottom of PowerPoint, you can just click on the little, I think it's like a paint can that show that you can fill in that text box, and that helps in the contrast. So, you know, there's literally like 256, I think, different colors you can use, right? But overwhelming folks with colors too gets to be a little bit annoying. So you can use, by filling in text, you can make or filling in text boxes, you can make text stand out. So that's a little technique that you can use. All right. Now, John is really animated with his text transitions, and I'll show you how you can do that in just a second here when we get done with the presentation. They don't need to be flying in. You know, he has everything always flying in. What I usually use is just dissolve. There's one called dissolve in. And again, it's the text transition shouldn't be annoying and distracting. What it should do is be used to direct attention, so that before he talks about this design, he says, okay, I'm measuring above ground biomass. Everybody's listening. This is how I set it up. Okay, I'm going to do this, and then you can see how he's talking about the design. Things are changing. And then he talks about seed production, and I guess he's clipping some plants, or he is clipping some plants. And he talks about other things too. Okay? So again, with all of these slides, you know, he has some images here that shows what he's doing. He has the design illustrated very clearly how he's going to be measuring these things, so folks understand how that's going to happen in the field. And you should have something that's similar. Okay. Now, So the methods portion, 10 points. Again, at the end, what we're going to grade you on is, have you adequately described your methods with respect to meeting your objectives? Okay? we've talked about clarity of images. I have an example of no excessive text and extensive tables. But the bottom line is with this, here's an example. Extensive text is, have you ever seen folks just have all of their text written out that they're actually going to talk about? Okay, you want to consolidate your text, have things in bullets like you see here, practice your presentation so you don't have to read from it, okay? So your bullets shouldn't be long explanations. The extensive tables I have an example of in one of the following presentations. Okay, so that's pretty much, and that's it. So he ends, you can present some preliminary results, but this is not necessary. In fact, you're not going to be graded on it. So I wouldn't even really focus on it. I would just talk about the way that you have things set up in your study. All right? And then acknowledgments, questions. Okay, any questions with that? Now, how do you, just show an example here for those, if I want to fill in this text box, make this black like we were talking about before, you just click on the text box, and down here at the bottom, you can see the paint can. You would just click on that and it becomes black. Now, if I want to make this thing transition, you click on the text box, you go up to slideshow and go down to custom animation. Oops. And then a window will pop up on the right side, and there's lots of different effects. Add effect. Okay, you can talk about how it's going to come in. And there's lots of different ones. Again, I just dissolve in works pretty nice. Okay? And so now what would happen is instead of that being up there, there's nothing up there, and then we hit dissolve in. Again, these titles that I have in here that separate the different sections are not necessary, as I mentioned last week. I just have them in here for illustration. Okay. Any questions? Is that clear? And you can fool around. There's lots of different ways, again, to bring things in. You can dissolve things out. If you look here, these numbers, once you add in transitions, they'll have numbers next to them. That'll show the order in which they're going to come in. And if you need to switch the order, you can switch them around, etc., on the right side. All right. Oops. Don't need to do that. Okay. Do I want to know? Next one. Let's talk about a research presentation. I'll zip through this because this follows very similar to the proposal presentation. However, with a research presentation, you are presenting your, introducing your topic and justifying your topic in much fewer slides, because this presentation is going to also have results, a discussion portion, and you're going to talk about the implications of your results. Okay, so it has three more sections involved. So obviously the three other sections, which you would have in a proposal presentation, need to be shrunk down. Okay, so you're graded on introduction and justification. how many points is that? Like 3 points or something, isn't it? 3 points, yeah. This is not a study that we did that's talking about amphibians and how cattle impact amphibians. And we start off by talking about amphibian declines and et cetera, how there's very little research that's been done with cattle, our hypotheses, the importance of cattle and how to our country and how they interact with amphibians and farm ponds and other types of wetlands, and et cetera. And then, okay, that's 3 slides, y'all. So we're talking about 2 to 3 slides in a research presentation to set up your topic. Okay, you should be able to do it that quickly. Then you talk about your research objectives, and again, you have these things coming in 1, 2, and 3. Now on to the methods. Again, if you have a study area, you talk about those. Okay, if you have pictures that show differences, we had some different treatments here, your methods. Now, you'll notice here I don't have the objectives up at the top. I still think it's a good idea to have those. I just didn't in this presentation. Okay. So these are just different response variables that we're measuring. Some pictures. Again, here it's done much more generally as opposed to showing an outline of all your design, etc. Folks, and the folks that are coming to listen to a research presentation, really, this interests them, but that's not why they're there. They're there to listen to your results and what you have to say about those results. So less details. Now, we do expect you in addition to your methods, to have a statistical analysis section for a research presentation. So you talk about, because you're going to be presenting results, how did you analyze those results? Okay, everybody in here, if you have data, you're calculating some type of statistics. So you talk about how you've done those. Okay. Now, with respect to presenting results, everybody has different types of data, etc. But whether it's continuous data, whether it's ordinal data, whether it's binary, you can, for the most part, you can present your results in figures using pie charts or bar charts. And that is the best way to present your results. And the reason is because your audience is, if you put up a table, it's difficult for them to look through that table and to interpret what you're trying to say. Folks are very visually, interpret things much easier visually. So the use of figures is preferred when you're giving a presentation. Okay? If you can have things that transition in, that talk, if you're talking about differences, that summarize those differences, like 3.5 times, 30% more, etc., that's desirable. Help summarize that information for your audience as you're going through. Okay, just more examples. Here's some pie charts. If you are testing for statistical differences, some folks will be building models, so they may not, but you should, even if you're building a model, you should indicate what are the significant variables. If you're testing for statistical differences, a common way to indicate those is with two different letters above the, if they are different, above the bars. You should always explain about the results. So for example, if I'm talking about this vertical vegetation structure, I've already talked about how we've measured it. On the y-axis, we have percent vertical vegetation structure. And if this was the very first graph I was talking about, I would indicate what the blue bar is and what the maroon bar is. Once you say it once, you don't need to say it again, but let folks know. Describe that to them first, okay? If you have any things that visually illustrate your results, those are good to include as well with your figures. Now, this is just showing modeling stuff, significant variables, how there's different trends. So there's lots of different ways you can present things, but illustrating those types of relationships with a graph is very effective. Okay. Everybody should have a summary of results if you're doing a presentation. After you go through all that, what are your take-home messages? Summarize it for your audience and make it very clear. Have different colored text for your take-home message. All right, then you need to talk about what does this mean? Y'all are doing this and y'all have results. How do you interpret those results? What's the most likely reason for your results? Even if you don't find anything significant, there's a reason probably for that significance. Low sample size, high variability, talk about those things. How do your results relate with other folks that have done similar research in your field? Okay? That's what a discussion is about. And this should only be 2 to 3 slides long. As far as results, they're as long as you have time to present and the results that you need to cover, or as many slides as necessary to present. Okay, so you talk about different things. Good to cite your cite previous studies that you're talking about. Have those citations right there so that you're in the audience. You don't have to indicate who those individuals are. They see though that what you're talking about is based on previous research. It adds some validity to your discussion. Okay. Implications of your results. Again, everybody has some implications. Even if you're doing simulations, how would somebody use your results? Okay? How would somebody use the results? Whether it's forest production, the forestry industry, biologists, scientists, etc. How are folks going to use these? All right? And that should be summarized in just about one slide. Okay. I will make a comment on this back here. I don't particularly... A lot of folks will use the an image their background, and if it doesn't distract too much from what your text is, I think it works fine. But be careful in doing that. I wouldn't use that very often. Okay, and future directions for research. Okay. Should end on an acknowledgement slide, your funding agencies, and any folks that have helped you out. Okay. Is that clear, y'all? And you can see how the number of points are broken down into each of those sections. All right. Any questions? Pretty simple. All right. Again, if you're doing that, if you're going to do that type of presentation, for your second presentation, it needs to be on results from a side study, something you are not presenting during your defense. Okay. All right. Now, the next one is a lecture or topic presentation. And again, the list of contemporary topics that came from faculty in our department is on the website. You do not need to, that's just there to generate ideas, y'all. You can certainly pick one of those topics and say, yeah, I like this. I'm going to do a presentation on it. You do not have to only select a topic from there. If you look through that and you're like, oh, I don't know, I still don't know, talk to your advisors. They're all doing research that's dealing with contemporary topics. They can lead you in a direction, or they know of topics that are cutting edge or interesting. The idea of that type of presentation is to create a discussion and dialogue with folks that are out there, get folks up to date with new and current information, and then have some question and answer opportunities. Okay? So this is actually one of the most exciting additions that at least the faculty members think to seminar. Okay, we just started doing this last fall. All right, so a topic of contemporary interest certainly is avian influenza, and is it a threat? The title of your topic should catch somebody's interest. Okay, and this is actually for a lecture that I give in one of the wildlife health classes, so you don't need to have the course number up there. All right. Now, what do you need? The first thing to start off with is an outline. 2 points. Outline indicates basically what you're going to be talking about. And what you're going to be talking about is broken into 3 categories. Topic introduction, current knowledge or issues, and future directions. Okay? All contemporary topics have those structures. That structure, it doesn't matter what you're talking about. Okay? What's the topic? What do we know about it? Where are we going with it? Okay, so here are some slides that would show how you might introduce avian influenza. Well, before you can talk about avian influenza, okay, this is a good way to start off. We recommend this. If you can find a newspaper article, a website, you have a picture, and there's this particular, and you can bring folks right to that topic very quickly. One of the requirements, you can see at the bottom, 4 points, is handouts. You should have, anywhere between 2 to 4 handouts that you can give to your audience to get them familiar with. I recommend you can have one from a website so folks can access it, a good website, but they all shouldn't be from websites. You should have some abstracts from peer refereed literature, okay, that you've been able to find, okay? All right, so again, introducing the topic, here we're talking about basically what is avian influenza and how that is classified. So this is just basically talking about what is avian influenza, okay? To introduce the topic, got to figure out, let everybody know, educate your audience, let them know what it is, whatever your topic is, okay? After you're done talking about what it is, okay, still talking about what it is here. This is the history of it, of basically influenza breakouts. We're not at current stuff yet. We're talking about the history. So we've talked about basically what is avian influenza, how it can infect individuals, history of influenza outbreaks for leading up to what's going on right now, how birds and how humans are infected, okay, and how they die. Okay, and then what is our current state of understanding? Okay. Current state of understanding, here's some epidemiology, of avian influenza and where the outbreaks started, which was in Southeast Asia. And now it has spread all the way into Europe and Africa. Okay. Talk about the first case in Hong Kong in 1997, 2003, China, Korea, 2004, Vietnam, Thailand, 2005, Vietnam, Russia, Kazakhstan, and then in 2006, it made it to Europe and Africa. Okay. And this shows basically as of early last year, the number of outbreaks, new cases in yellow, previous cases in red. Again, this is the epicenter of where the outbreak started, and it's spread to Europe and Africa by now. Okay, this talks about human cases, number of human cases. Those were bird cases on the previous slide. And we can see kind of a exponential growth, the number of individuals that these are cases and these are deaths. Okay. Anyways, this is an example here of an extensive table. All right. If you're going to use something like this, you feel compelled to use something like this, then you need to direct your audience's attention. I would discourage you against using an extensive table. However, if you are going to, notice how you have different colored cells here. And when you're going to talk about something, you're going to have a text box or something transition in so you direct folks' attention, all right? There's been 328 cases of avian influenza in humans. 200 folks have died. That's about 60% mortality rate in humans. And there are 3 major countries that have had the most number of cases and deaths, Egypt, Indonesia, and Vietnam. So talk about mortality rates, 61%, okay, and what are the effects, not just on humans, but also poultry. Over 150 million poultry have been euthanized, 1.6 million birds just in Thailand alone. 55 countries have been reported infections by avian influenza, none yet in the United States. Avian influenza, H5N1, most likely to be have significant impacts on our poultry industry. Okay, this is how it's being trans hypothesized to be transmitted is by migratory birds. And then there are some other reservoirs, such as pigs and cats, etc., that have been shown to be reservoirs of different types of avian influenza in the past, different types or actually H5N1. Now, this is future directions, y'all. So where do we go from here? Okay, you've brought through folks through, you got history, brought folks through what do we know right now, where do we go now, what's the concerns? The concern with avian influenza is currently it is not an effective virus as far as transmitting from human to human. Okay, you pretty much get infected and you have a 40% chance of surviving. All right, but the chance of you actually transmitting it to somebody else is very, very low. The concern is that virus will mutate with a form of human influenza that ultimately will result in it being able to be transmitted as easily as any of the influenzas that are easily transmitted from human to human. So a new novel virus. And if that's the case, then you have basically a hemorrhagic influenza that can be easily transmitted by coughing, sneezing, etc., from human to human. Okay? The predictions, if this happens, is that 1.6 to 3.25 billion people will be infected with a 60% mortality rate. That's 1 to 2 billion people will die in the world. At a lower mortality rate, which is probably a little bit too optimistic, 1 to 5%. Now we're talking about 16 to 160 million people. And then what we're doing right now, there is for H5N1, there's a vaccine, there's a ban on bird imports, etc. There's a plan out there. But the greatest concern is a new virus that would mutate and be different than H5N1, at least with respect to transmission capabilities. So that's where we are, okay? That's where we're going. And again, this is just one example of a topic. All right, current stuff that's going on right now as far as surveillance of waterfowl, etc., that are hypothesized to be transmitters of the virus. Okay, does that give you kind of a feeling of how each of these presentation types should be, the components? Obviously, y'all are only doing one, so for two-thirds of what I've been talking about, you've probably been really cared to listen about it, but appreciate you sitting there. Yeah.
You had a lot of information on this slide, just as something I can reference.
Yeah. Okay. The first two presentations, the research and the proposal presentation, were designed to go through in 15 to 20 minutes. You have to be very rehearsed in what you're going to be presenting. This is an hour and a half left. Okay? You wouldn't probably have as many slides. Mm-hmm. And actually, I pulled some slides out of there that I usually do have when I give this lecture. But probably you couldn't get through all those slides I presented in 15 to 20 minutes. Okay? Again, that's your window you're shooting for. And Sharon will be holding up time cards. All right. Any questions? Let me just mention this here. Number three here, delivery and organization. Again, can we hear you? The clarity of your message at the end, do we understand what you're trying to say, whether it's talking about your research or it's a topic? Do you feel, again, do we feel that you have mastered the subject? Are you confident? And we talked about mannerisms before. Again, repeating the questions, remember to repeat your questions. You will be podcast. And then your response and your confidence, the clarity of your responses to the audience when they've asked questions. All right, we've talked about the other stuff last time, so. Okay. That's about it. On the second sheet here, it does have things broken down, so your presentation's worth 75% of your grade. Let's see here. Dr. Hodges and I will grade them, and Sharon will grade the 512 students. All those will be averaged, and then again, you have your flyer, your bio, introducing the person that you're paired with for some other points. Yes, ma'am. So if anybody can give Sharon a hand with respect to bringing food in and taking food out, because she's going to have a lot of other things going on with respect to, you know, getting attendance and grading presentations and making sure Dr. Hodges and I are in the correct seats at the right time, that it would be helpful if we had somebody help her bring food in and out, because again, class before and class after. So, okay. We good? Yeah. Also, I think that you are going to take suggestions for food, right?
Yes, I'm emailing that out.
Okay.
And I will email everybody.
Okay.
Tell me what you would prefer to eat. But then, you know, if you want to eat here, I feel like you might
Okay. The roll, yeah. I guess if you're in the back, if when you get done with the roll, if during seminar, if you'll just put it on that back table, that'd be great. And again, remember to sign that thing, because that's what we're keeping track of, or how we're keeping track of your attendance. So, in case you come in late.
Emergency.